God is faithful. Not faith empty, not faith halfway, but faithful. Say that. Say, God is faithful. All right. And follow along with me in the Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to get into this. Hallelujah. I don't know how many times we stood and said that this building is paid in full, and now it's a reality. But you know what? When you're in faith, time is not an issue. Because faith is eternal. Faith is powerful. We just want to look at the faithfulness of God tonight on this Wednesday. And, you know, maybe you just need to consider the faithfulness of God. And we're going to see that when you consider the faithfulness of God, what it does for you. When you begin to consider how faithful God was from here to here to here, and you get that in your mind, you're going to figure out that, hey, if God was faithful here, here, and here, then guess what? He's going to be faithful over here too. Because he does not change. If he was faithful here, he's going to be faithful over here. But when you begin to consider his faithfulness, that's what makes the difference in your own life. Okay? And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. It says, through faith also. Everybody say also. If Sarah did it by faith, through faith, how are you going to do it? Through faith, right? Faith is how you get things from God. The things from God are not automatic. There's no such thing as an automatic blessing. I'm just going to put this on automatic blessing, and if God wants to do it, he'll do it. No. Believe me, God wants to do it, but he's going to do it through your faith. That's how it's going to happen. And so you've got to use your faith to tap in to what God wants to do. Okay? Because of faith or through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. You know, ladies, when you get to a certain age, things change. Things stop working, right? I'm not a lady, and I haven't gotten there yet. So, does faith consider your age? Faith is not an issue of your age, your position, your background, your race, your history. That is not an issue. Faith works whether you're 8 or 80, right? You know, I could just imagine when John, we call him John the Baptist, but he was the only person that was filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. And that was for a reason, because he was created to be a forerunner. What was that birth like when a baby is born with the Holy Ghost in him? Huh? I mean, that must have been an awesome thing. Think about it. Okay, Sarah herself, through faith, received strength. And that strength that she received, it was to conceive seed and delivered a child when she was past age, because, everybody say because, she judged him faithful who had promised. So something occurred in her when she judged him faithful, when she considered him faithful, when she began to think about how faithful he was here, how faithful he was here, how faithful he was here. Something happened in Sarah that caused strength to come to her. She's like, woo! After she got done considering the faithfulness of God, she went, woo! Something happened in her. Let me read this to you in a few different translations. The Amplified says, because of faith, Sarah herself received physical power to conceive a child. Even when she was long past age, the age for it, because she considered God, who had given her the promise to be reliable and trustworthy and true to his word. So Sarah considered God to be reliable, trustworthy, and true. And in that consideration, something happened in her body. It caused strength and power to come to her body, which was dead, and all of a sudden, that which was dead began to live. That which didn't work began to function again. And all she did was consider. She considered him faithful. She judged him faithful. She did not even have anything in writing. She could not turn to the book of Hebrews and find out that God was faithful. All she had was what God said to Abraham. That's all she had. She didn't have any other evidence. She was 10 years younger than Abraham. So when Abraham first got the promise, she would have been 65. That's when most people retire. And Sarah's about getting ready to have a baby. What are you going to do for retirement, Sarah? I'm going to have a baby. What? That's what happened. Okay? So, faith gave her strength and power and enabled her to do something, okay? Faith enabled her to do something that she couldn't do, that she didn't have the physical ability to do. Can faith help you? Can faith cause you to do something that you couldn't do? Absolutely. I'm here to tell you, that's what faith does, okay? Now, this particular power, it helped her conceive. You talk about getting a house remodeled, she got a womb remodeled. She got a womb makeover. You know, I heard on the radio, they were having this ugly room contest. And, you know, if you send in something, and if you win, you get a makeover of your ugly room, right? So, Sarah had a womb that wasn't working, because it had been past the age of where it was supposed to work. But faith changed all that. Faith can change things. Your faith can change your situation. Say, my faith. Okay? And so what does it mean to be faithful? It simply means to be trustworthy or worthy of trust. All right? It's something reliable. It's something that is sure. How many want to get in on a sure thing? This is a sure thing. The gospel, Jesus Christ, it is a sure thing. What Jesus said will happen if you believe it. It'll happen to whoever believes it. Whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Okay? So, go with me to Genesis chapter 17. I want to look at Sarah's situation for a little bit. Then we're going to get somewhere. And Lord, I thank you that I can get there. Genesis 17. Okay? And let's look at verse 15. Genesis 17, verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah, which means princess, shall be her name. And I will bless her. What does it mean to bless? It means simply to empower, to prosper. Okay? So when God says, I'm going to bless you, that means he's going to give power made available to you to do things. Right? In her case, it was to prosper. In everybody's case, it's to prosper. All right? I will bless her and give you a son of her. Everybody say, of her. Okay? Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. To someone who at this time had no children. To someone who at this time it was physically impossible to have a child. Okay? Go with me to Genesis 18. And let's look at verse 11. Well, verse 9. Genesis 18, 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah your wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah your wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. This might have been the first time. I don't know. Maybe Abraham didn't tell her the whole story. I don't know. You know, men, we don't get into details so much. I remember one time, I listened to a conversation that my brother-in-law had on the phone. The conversation went like this. Yeah? Uh-huh. Okay. Bye. And from that conversation, he knew where he was going to meet his friend, what they were going to do, and what time to be there. Isn't that amazing? Okay? Verse 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? Now, I want you to get this picture. If you're in your 70s, and someone tells you that you're going to have a baby, you'd probably react the same way too. You'd be like, yeah, you're crazy. Or you'd be like, yeah, right. Come on, am I on candid camera? All right? Okay. Verse 12. Sarah laughed within herself. Oh, I already read that. Verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I of surety bear a child with which I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Let me ask you that question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything that has to make God scratch his head saying, Gabriel, Michael, how are we going to do this? No. Say this. Say, nothing is too hard for God. Say it again. Say, nothing is too hard for God. So why are we complaining about when things are hard? Oh, I got you on that one. Maybe you're trying to do it in your own strength too much. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, I think we hit something there. At the time appointed, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Everybody say, she shall have. Okay? Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but you did laugh. Listen, God knows what you're thinking anyway. Let's just be honest. Let's just own up to our thoughts. Hey, yeah, I did laugh. Okay? God just told her that to let her know that I know it. Okay? All right, now let's go to one more verse in Genesis 21. See, Hebrews lets us get insight into what actually happened with Sarah in her heart. How did she get to the place where she had power to conceive? How did she get there? Her faith? But what did she do specifically to cause that power to come to her? She judged, she considered, right? Didn't say she prayed, did it? She wasn't praying. She just was thinking that how faithful God was. She was thinking how good God is. She was thinking how awesome God. Listen, God took care of us when we left her. When we left Ur of the Chaldees. God took care of us when we were in Egypt. God protected us from Abimelech. God protected me from being part of the king's harem. God protected us. He blessed us. He blessed my husband's business. She began to think about all these things. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. She began to form an image within her about how good God was, how powerful God is. I shouldn't say was, I should say is. How good God is, how powerful God is, how faithful God is, how true God is. She began to see that everything God spoke to her had come to pass up to that point. Right? And in doing that, it built her faith to the point where power was able to come. You know, why don't we drive around golf carts instead of regular cars on the highways? They don't have enough power. They're not designed to go on the highways. We have cars that have engines that can move the wheels to go 65 miles an hour. They're equipped. Listen, if you're not equipped with the power, you can't handle it. If you're trying to have a $1,000 miracle with $10 faith, it's not going to work. If you've got $10 faith and you're believing for a $1,000 miracle, you're shortchanging yourself. Well, how do you get a $1,000 faith? You consider God faithful. You build up your faith account. Faith comes by what? It didn't say that faith comes by having heard. Having heard is like putting a coin into the laundry, but hearing is keep putting the coins in. Come on now. Too many people are trying to go on the one coin and they're not putting coins in continually or consistently. If you're not hearing the word of God consistently, your faith is not growing. Because faith comes by what? Hearing. It didn't say faith comes by hear. It didn't say faith comes by having heard. It says faith comes by hearing. That means now and ongoing. And it didn't say that you should stop. All right? So we don't drive in golf carts because they don't have enough power. But if you get me a golf cart that'll go 65, I'll drive it on the highway. Okay? Genesis 21. Verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah, because this time she was in faith. Okay? Because after this time, she had been considering the faithfulness of God. Hebrews is just giving us a picture of what took place. The Lord visited Sarah as he what? Had said. God will never do anything that he hasn't said. He will never do anything apart from his word. Never. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had what? Isn't that interesting? He did what he said, and things occurred as he spoke it. That's how faith works. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Three times in two verses it's talking about speaking and spoken. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. He laughs. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old. Everybody say 100. Listen, 100 in Abraham's day is like 100 today. I'm telling you, there's no difference. Say 100. When his son Isaac was born, and Sarah said, God has made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Now, this was a good laughter. This was a laughter of joy, that because now her son had been born. Before, it was a laugh of impossibility. But once she considered the faithfulness of God, he changed her laughter of impossibility to laughter of joy. Now notice this. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? She nursed Isaac. Everybody say she nursed him. Not only was there power in her to conceive, but the power in her to conceive also was the same power that sustained her. A 90-year-old woman nursing a baby. Come on! When you consider the faithfulness of God and how good God is, and how good, how faithful he is, how true he is, how awesome he is, how powerful he is. Listen, if you're not spending time considering these things about God, don't expect power. If you're not spending time in a relationship with God, don't expect things from God. Come on now. There was something that Sarah did to cause strength to come to her. She did something simple. She considered. How many has ever considered purchasing a piece of property? How many has ever considered buying shoes? How many has ever considered which is the best watermelon in the store? Huh? We consider things all the time. But you say, Pastor, that's so simple. Exactly. She spent some time considering God. And in considering God, she went from the arena of doubt and unbelief into the arena of faith. She entered the arena where all things are possible. And she proved it, because a 90-year-old woman gave birth. She carried a baby for 9 months. The baby was not premature. The baby didn't have any birth defects. Prior to that, her and Abraham had to have some time together. Verse 8. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. So, you know, what does it take? About 2 years? 2-3 years to wean a child? I forget. Come on, ladies, help me. Okay. So not only did she have strength to conceive, but she had strength that sustained her. She was able to nurse this child who she bore in her old age for 2-3 years. So for 2-3 years, her body, which was dead, produced what it needed to sustain her son. They didn't have formula in these days. Okay? Come on now. I'm being real with you. Okay. And it was all because she judged him. She considered him what? Faithful. Not faith empty. Faithful. Our God is faithful. Say that. Say, God is faithful. All right? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. What do you suppose would happen if you began to consider God faithful? How many has God done something for you in the last 2 years? All right? How many has God done something for you in the last 5 years? How many has God done something for you in the last year? Okay? I want you to rehearse your victories. Stop rehearsing your defeats. Start rehearsing. David didn't go before Saul and said, when the bear killed me and when the lion had his way over me. He didn't rehearse his defeats. He said, I killed the lion and I killed the bear, and this giant will be just like them. That's how you consider God faithful. He began to consider how God is faithful here. He helped me with the bear. He helped me with the lion, and he's going to help me with the giant the same way. It doesn't matter if it's a lion, a bear, or a giant. Faith works the same way. The circumstance doesn't matter. If you got a problem in your body, faith is the answer. Begin to consider what God has brought you through. Today I went and visited Harvey Good, who's in the hospital. He fell, he broke his neck, and he broke his back, and he had a 10-hour surgery yesterday. He's like 83, okay? He's alert. There's no paralysis. When I told him that our building was paid off, he was sitting there praising the Lord. He was alert. He can move his hands. He can move his feet. We gave him one of our prayer animals, prayer cloths. But you know what? You know what Pearl said to me? She said that he has never really been sick. And I said, he's still not sick. I said, he's just got some things that need to be mended. But for, you know why? Because he preached the gospel. He walked with God. And I bet that he considered God faithful along his journey. That's why he has strength now in this time and in this moment of his life. Considering God faithful can make all the difference in the world. It can change your circumstance. Problem is, too many people, Christians, do not consider the faithfulness of God. They would rather talk about the problem. They would rather take ownership of things that don't belong to them. Christians do it all the time. You know, when you take ownership of something that doesn't belong to you, that's like telling a thief, I'll leave the door open at 11. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast. Or that word fast means firm. Everybody say firm. The profession of our faith without wavering. Why? For he is faithful that promised. How many believe God is a provider? Okay? So when you have a need, what should you say? You should say what, John? God is faithful. You shouldn't be talking about what you don't have or what you can't do. How would you like to be in the room with Abraham and Sarah? I don't think this is going to work. We're just going to try it. So if you believe God is faithful, then what you should say Lord, what did I get myself into? Woo. Someone turn on the air. It's a little hot in here. You're supposed to hold fast to your confession of faith. Why? Because he's faithful. If God doesn't change his faithfulness, then your confession of his faithfulness shouldn't change either. If you believe God to be a provider and you have a need that needs provision, then you should say, God is faithful. He is my provider. If people see that you have a need and they say, do you have a need? You say, God is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. You should hold fast to your confession of faith. Why? Because he's faithful. If his faithfulness doesn't change, then our confession shouldn't change. Our confession should be the same, just as he is the same. Because after all, we're confessing him, aren't we? Okay? So, to be faithful, you need to draw near to God. Listen, you can't experience God's faithfulness apart from God. All right? So if you're doing your own thing, guess who's going to move? You. Okay? Listen, the man who let his young son take his inheritance and go, he didn't chase after him, did he? Prodigal son. He let him go, but he was expecting him to return. And when he returned, see, his mind was messed up. He had to get in the right frame of mind in order to come home. Okay? But he was expecting him because he saw him from a great distance off. And he said that is, he identified his son from a great distance off. So he was looking for him. So you got to draw near to God. You got to keep coming to him. You got to hold unswervingly. Say unswervingly. That means no turning, no letting go. You've got to hold unswervingly to professed hope. You've got to say the same thing from start to finish. Why? Because God's faithful. Maybe you don't believe God's faithful. Maybe that's the problem. That's why the confession changes. Because you don't really believe that God's faithful. But once you make up your mind, how are you going to get to the point that you believe God's faithful? Consider what he did before. When you start considering what he did before, it'll cause you to have confidence in him now. If God didn't let you down before, what makes you think he's going to let you down now? You got to consider how, and then, you know, okay. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Now, this is powerful. Right before Titus and Timothy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. Well, let's start with verse 1. This is important. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Why should the Lord, word of the Lord have free course? Huh? Because faith comes by what? Hearing what? See, it's important for you to pray that the word have free course in your life. If it doesn't have free course, that means there's a blockage. Listen, don't let the enemy put a roadblock to the word coming to you. If you're not in a place that you can hear the word, open up the Bible. You know, there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that just look for words. Give me a word, give me a word. Here, I'll give you a book full of words. I got so many words for you. Here. You want a word? Here. Pick one. It's all good. Okay. Verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not the faith. Listen, not everybody that you encounter is in faith. How many many people were touching Jesus when the woman with the issue of blood encountered him? Who got a miracle? How many people got a miracle in that scenario? Out of all the people touching him, only one was in faith. Wow, can you imagine that? Before you pray, you better get in faith. Don't just, there's no such thing as a shotgun prayer. I hope I get something. You'll get nothing. Listen, your prayer has to be specific, it has to be focused, and it has to be based in the Word. How do you get in faith before you pray? Find out what God says about what you're about to pray about. Go to God and see what He says about what you're about to pray about before you pray. That'll help you get in faith. Faith comes by what? Hearing the Word, right? Okay, now look at verse 3. The Lord is what? Faithful. Who shall establish you and keep you from evil? One way that the Lord is faithful is He will establish you. He will strengthen you. Okay? So part of the Lord's faithfulness, He comes up. Let me use you as an example, Elliot. Hold up your arm. It doesn't matter what arm, okay? The Lord will come along and He'll establish you, all right? He's not gonna let it go from either side. He's going to establish you. Part of God's faithfulness, He establishes you. You know, when you're established, you have confidence. When you're established, you walk different. It's not like, you know, you're walking on eggshells. No. When you're established, you're confident. You have this look in your eye like Clint Eastwood. Go ahead. Make my day. Part of God's faithfulness is He establishes you and strengthens you. Okay? Then it says, He keeps you from evil. If He keeps you from evil, that means the devil can't interfere, because the devil is evil. So when God is faithful, He keeps you, He establishes you, He strengthens you, and He keeps you from evil. What if you get into evil? You know, with every temptation, listen, every one of us are tempted to get into evil. But you're tempted because of your own lust, your desire. Lust is really desire. All right? You could be tempted for anything. So part of God's faithfulness, the Lord is faithful. Who shall establish you? He will keep you from evil. Verse 4. And we have confidence in who? In the Lord. So when you have a need, you ought to say, Jehovah Jireh is my provider. That's what that means. Jehovah Jireh. Jireh means provider, to provide. The Lord who provides. So it establishes confidence. How many people have lost loved ones? Okay? How the Lord establishes you, you say this: no one in my house, no one in my family is going to hell. You say, well, that's a bold statement. Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Say no one, say that. Say no one in my family that's related to me is going to leave this earth and go to hell. They're coming in to the family of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesse Duplantis. How many has ever heard of Jesse Duplantis? Okay, he's a minister out of Louisiana. If you've ever heard him, he'll make you laugh. Okay? He used to play in all kinds of rock groups like Deep Purple and all that kind of stuff. Then he got born again. But his mom would always say that no son of mine is going to hell. And guess what? He's not. So, the Lord will establish you. He'll keep you from evil, and he'll give you confidence. That's part of God's faithfulness. Do you think David had confidence when he fought Goliath? Do you think that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had confidence when they were the only three that refused to bow? Imagine if we had this church packed and three people out of 96 seats didn't do what the other 93 did. That you're going to have some confidence to counteract the world's culture. But you got to be established. In order to be established, you got to consider God faithful. And in considering God faithful, that's like relationship. You got to go over it. And when you consider something, you're going over it and over it and over it until you make a decision. And once you decide that God is faithful, that's it. You don't change your mind. You don't say, well, maybe he's not, maybe he is, maybe he's not. No! That's double-minded. You're not going to, a double-minded person does not receive anything. Because it's a double negative, zero. Okay, let's go on. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you or concerning you that you both do and will do the things which we command you. So faithfulness builds confidence. Faithfulness carries out the will and command of God continually. When you have considered God faithful, you will do what he tells you to do. When you don't consider him faithful, you will not do what he tells you to do. How many believe God can provide? All right? Now, in believing God can provide, you ought to be a faithful and consistent giver. Otherwise, if you're not a faithful and consistent giver, you don't believe that God can provide. Because it says here that we have confidence in the Lord that you both do and will do the things which we command you. Is tithing a command? Absolutely. Malachi 3, Leviticus 27, Hebrews 7, all talks about it. So the one who considers God faithful will take every opportunity to give what they can, when they can. You know, God will never ask you for what you don't have, right? But see, what you're doing is you believe that God is faithful. So when you give, you believe that God's going to multiply that. Just like the little boy who gave up his lunch. How many little boys do you know give up their lunch? When I was a little boy, you ain't getting my lunch. Okay? Let's go on. Verse 5. This all has to relate to the Lord is faithful. The Lord will direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. So faithfulness directs you and leads you to the love of God. How many believe God is faithful? Then we ought to love others. Love doesn't expose sin, it covers sin. Doesn't mean it excuses error. There's a difference between covering up error and covering up someone's sin. You cover the sin because you're protecting the person, but the light of God will expose error. Okay? You're not excusing the behavior. Just like God doesn't excuse our behavior. Okay? You cover them, you protect them, you pray for them. You don't criticize them. You know, if we believe that God is faithful, then we ought to walk in 1 Corinthians 13. Love takes no, keep hold of the things done wrong to it. If you're talking about something that wronged you 10 years ago, get over it. Start thinking how faithful God is. Does God bring up what you did 10 years ago? You know, when he rose from the dead and he made breakfast for Peter on the seashore, he didn't say, Peter, you know, when you denied me, He said, Peter, do you love me? He didn't even talk about his denial. He didn't even bring it up. Why? Because when things are under the blood, he can't see them. As far as the east is from the west, he forgets. God is not a God of the past. He's a God of the present and the future. Amen? Okay. Let's go on. Now we command you, brethren, verse 6, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the tradition or the teaching which he received of us. Faithfulness limits your associations with people. Faithfulness hangs around with the faithful. Not the sluggard, not the fool, you know. So there are times when you have to walk away from people as far as relationship-wise because they're not doing what they need to do. How'd you like to be the owners of the boat when Jonah gets on your boat? That's one association, you know. Hey, they lost their stuff. So faithfulness will limit your associations. It separates you from the pack. To be faithful, sometimes you might have to stand alone. Was there anybody else on Jesus' cross with him? I mean, he was hung beside two thieves, but there wasn't anybody else on his cross. Faithfulness will, sometimes you have to be on your own. How many disciples were able to pray for an hour in the garden with Jesus? Did that stop him from praying? You know, Jesus didn't come back and say, well, I couldn't pray because you didn't pray with me. What kind of an excuse is that? If you need to pray, you pray. Whether anybody prays with you or not. Not having anybody to pray with you is not an excuse not to pray. Well, I didn't have anybody with me. What difference does that make? We do that all the time, don't we? You did this. You did this. Well, what did you do? You know, Jesus did this with his disciples. He said, who do the people say that I am? Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're a prophet. But then he brought it home. Who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? We got to form our own opinion about God. Who is God to you? Who is he? Is he the faithful God? If he's the faithful God, then put your shoulders back, put your chin up, and put a smile on your face. I mean, if you looked at me like this, would you think that God is faithful? No, you wouldn't think that I serve a faithful God. Amen? So let me just go over this list. According to this passage of Scripture in 2 Thessalonians. Faithfulness strengthens you. Faithfulness establishes you on a firm foundation and it guards you from the evil one. Faithfulness builds confidence. Faithfulness carries out the will and command of God continually. It does what it needs to do. Faithfulness directs you and leads you to the love of God. Faithfulness enables you to wait for the Lord. You know, how many has heard that the Lord is coming? All right? How many get discouraged because he hasn't come yet? Like, come on, Lord, it's 2011. When are you going to get here? I've been waiting. Yeah, maybe you need to start doing. Quit worrying about what time it is. You know, God doesn't wear a watch. He has a sundial, S-O-N. He's on eternity. You know, he doesn't have a kinetic watch. He doesn't have an atomic watch. He has an eternal watch. Listen, just be grateful that God hasn't come yet so that you can do what you need to do. When Jesus was 12, he said, I need to be about my Father's business. Maybe God is waiting because he's letting his children be about the business that they need to be about. Maybe that's why he hasn't come yet. If we would get busy, not busy bodies, busy about doing what God wants us to do on this earth. What are you waiting for? Can I ask you, what are you waiting for to do what God wants you to do? Well, I'm waiting for the perfect time. There's no such thing. I'm waiting until this happens. Well, keep on waiting. You're putting that before the Lord. What are you waiting for to do what God wants you to do, to be what God wants you to be? What are you waiting for? Think about that for a minute. You can't use age as an excuse, because we've got John the Baptist before the womb, we've got Moses at 80. So, you know, Abraham having babies at 100. Can you see Abraham and Sarah going to the daycare? You know, because Abraham's got to go work his sheep, and they need someone to watch Isaac, and they show up at the daycare. I mean, could you see the daycare? Are these your grandparents? No, these are my parents. Huh? They're your parents? Okay. Hey, but listen, you know, kings desired Sarah in her 70s. King Abimelech was going to put Sarah in his harem. Sarah must have been a pretty gorgeous woman. But here's the thing that I want to leave you with. You begin to consider the faithfulness of God. Think of the good things that God has done for you. Here, however many good things it takes for you to consider to build your confidence here. However long you need to consider the faithfulness of God until it resonates within you. You need to get to the point where you're like, the sparks are firing. All right? You need to get to the point, you know, like an old, I'm going to say this, then I'm going to close, hopefully. You know the old train that ran on coal or wood? It would start off slow, right? But once the heat got to a point, whew, that train, the wheels would start spinning faster and faster and faster. And then you go, woo, woo! Listen, considering the faithfulness of God, you might start off slow. Oh, been 5 minutes. Oh. But you know what? The more you consider, you're going to start picking up speed. And it's going to start going, whew, faster, faster, faster. And then you're going to get to the point where your confidence, something rises up within you, and you'll be like, I'm ready to take on that giant. See, when you consider, John, consider what God has done for you. Right. Consider where he's brought you. Consider how he saved you. Yeah. Consider how he's led you. Consider how he's filled you with the Holy Spirit. Consider when you speak in other tongues, consider what that does to you. Right. And all of a sudden, it does something for you in your present. Sarah received strength to conceive because she considered, she judged, she thought about how faithful he was. If he was faithful, he doesn't change. So he is faithful, and he will be faithful. Young people, consider the times when you encountered God. Consider the times when you felt his presence. Consider the things that you've heard and the things that you've seen. And when you do that, it'll build your confidence for now. Because even in temptation, if you read that verse, in the midst of temptation, the Bible says God is faithful. There's always a way out. There's always a way out. Father, you are a faithful God. And Lord, I pray that tonight that our confidence is going to be raised to a higher level, Father, that there's nothing that we cannot do, There's nothing that, if you set it in your word, we can have it. If all we've got to do, Father, is consider what you've done for us, how you blessed us, how you've touched us, how you ministered to us, the words that were spoken over you, the prophecies that were given, the hands that were laid on you, the prayers that have gone up. Hallelujah. The Israelites prayed for 400 years until God sent a deliverer. It didn't matter the time, but the deliverer came, and they were delivered out of Egypt. They kept praying, 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 and after 400 years, the deliverer finally come. Listen, don't quit praying, because God is faithful. He'll take your words. He's listening to your prayers. Don't stop. Don't stop reading your word. Don't stop worshiping. Don't stop giving. Don't stop being faithful. Don't stop serving, because our God is faithful. He is a good God. He loves you. He is your Father. He will provide, because that's just who he is. And he's not going to change. But all you got to do is consider him faithful, and that'll bring about a change in you. It will change you. Because we're the ones that need to change. He's perfect. He's holy. He's majestic. He's beauty. He's beautiful in holiness. But if you want to change, just consider him faithful. And the change will occur. You will have power that comes to you. And you'll be like, "Woo, I feel good." Amen? Listen, when I first saw $96,000, and I look at zero now, not only did we pay off $96,000, but we've paid the electric bill. We've paid the oil bill. And everything else that goes along. God is faithful. Don't let your circumstances stop you, but change your circumstances by considering him faithful. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for times of refreshing, Father, from your presence. Lord, let us leave tonight full, knowing that you have imparted to us your living word. Your words are spirit and life. And we just receive them in Jesus' name. Amen.